Okay. All right. There are 3 points. The first point is a pasuk in Bo. Shmos Yud Beis Mem. Pasuk says one of the most astounding pasukim in the Torah. Pasuk says, "Moshav b'nei Yisrael, asher yoshvu," one of the most difficult, "asher yoshvu b'mitzrayim." Okay, and the dwelling of the b'nei Yisrael that they lived in Egypt, shloshim shana, 30 years, va'arba me'ah shana, and 400 years, it means that they lived in Mitzrayim for 430 years. Okay, so of course Rashi mentions, and anybody that knows a little basic arithmetic knows this is a problem. Serious problem, because the pasuk will not work out. If you take the Kohos went down to Mitzrayim, right? So Kohos lived 133 years. His son Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu's father, lived 137 years, and Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years. So if you add them all up, comes out to 350. Okay. So these were father and sons. So it has to be that you're going to have to subtract a considerable amount of time anyways. So it can never work out. This is impossible. Okay. So here you have a case. I mean, it's the only case that I know of that the Torah literally makes a statement that just doesn't. It's impossible to explain it. It's just not true. Okay, so Moshe of Nesos Yeshu Shayim is Shloshim Shana Va'arba Me'ashan. 430 years is impossible. And Pasuk says it. Not only says it once, repeats it again. Vayhi Miketz Shloshim Shana Va'arba Me'ashan. Vayhi Betzem Hayom Hazeh Yotzu Kol Tzivos Hashem Meretz Mitzrayim. So it repeats the number. Huh? Difficult, very difficult thing. Nowhere, I don't think there's anywhere else in Torah I know of that you have such a blatant, a glaring, seeming inconsistency. Okay? Yeah. So the Shivim Zakenim, the Tirgum HaShivim, when they translated this pasuk, so they changed it. My translator for the Goyim, they translated. They said, "Moshe of Nesos Shiyosh Mitzrayim Bush Oratzos Shloshim Shana Vaba Me'ashana." I guess they felt to be enough to satisfy them, get them off the problem. But it's an amazing thing. I mean, the Torah, with all its intricate detail, in other areas like in the Mishkan, with the exactness of the dimensions and the perfection of the details, over here, like as if the Torah just is the total disregard for numbers. Okay. Yonasan ben Aziel tried to tackle the problem. I'll tell you what his solution was. His solution was like this, that you have to break up the 30 years and the 400 years. And he says 30 years doesn't mean 30 years. But 30 years means... How long were they in Mitzrayim, actually? According to Chazal, the standard amount. There's different calculations. But the Bei Radu is what? Is 210. Okay? 210 years. So he says like this. He says you have to break up this puzzle. Shloshim Shana means not 30 years, but 30 Shemitahs. So 30 Shemitahs comes out exactly 210. Okay? And Arba Me'ah Shana is a different thing. Arba Me'ah Shana, he says, is going back to the Bris Ben Absalom. Ger Yezarach Ol Beretz Lolohem Arba Me'ah Shana Vino Vavod Vinosim Arba Me'ah Shana. So he simply splits the pasuk in two. I would assume that he moves the Esnachta down from the Mitzrayim and places it on Shloshim Shana. And Moshe Bnei Yitzchak Yeshu Shalayim Shloshim Shana Esnachta. Arba Me'ah Shana is a different thing. That's the way Yonasan ben Aziel explains the pasuk. It's an interesting, very interesting explanation, but no one seemed to take this explanation seriously. Because everybody deals with the problem. Rashi deals with the problem. Ramban deals with the problem. Ibn Ezra deals with the problem. No one gives that answer. No one. I didn't see anybody else give that answer. But it is an ingenious answer. I mean, it's a sharp answer, but it still is bothersome. Because why should Torah be speaking in terms of Shemitahs here? Okay? That's a separate... See, suddenly... And what about the... I mean, there's something difficult about it. The Torah should be speaking in the same verse about Shemitah, an account of Shemitah, and then another account of Arba Mea Shana, which is literally years. Okay, I'm sure you understand you had a good answer for it. I'm not going to go into... we can go into trying to figure out why that's so. But let's leave that go. I mean, I'm not going to go into Yonis and Rizal's explanation. I'm just mentioning it. It's an interesting interpretation. But of course, the basic interpretation is that it goes back to Bris Ben Epsilon. The 430 years goes back to Bris Ben Epsilon. So, okay, it's true. Let's say that Cheshbon was Avram Avinu 75 or 70. Right, this is a matter of not too much difficulty. You can overcome the problem. And you have 430 years from Bris. Let's just say there's a lot of calculations here. I'm not going to, the Ramban talks about the, but basically, let's just say plain pshat, like Rashi says, 430 years from Bris Ben Epsilon. Okay, but then the pasuk is still difficult. First of all, it's difficult the Moshe of Bnei Yisrael, because you're talking about Avram Avinu. Where's the Bnei Yisrael? Talking about Avram Avinu. Okay, that's number one. And secondly, it wasn't in Mitzrayim. Asher Yosh from Mitzrayim, it says. Doesn't say from Bris Ben Epsilon. So the pasuk still remains difficult. It's a very difficult pasuk. All Rashi says is that you can't say, Rashi says obviously you can't say this means 430 is Mitzrayim. It just won't work out in the very same sefer. If you add it up, you don't have to go back too far. I mean, Shmos Vera Bo. Just go through and from Aaron Bo, where it gives you the years of Kohos and Amram, and that's it. Okay. Well, that's one problem. Okay. Another problem is in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, you have Vehisha Onda. Okay? The Vehisha Onda. I always wondered about that Vehisha Onda. What is the Vehisha Onda doing over here? It seems like completely... out of place, because you have like this. The Haggadah, as you know, as we've gone through many times, the Haggadah starts off with the halachos, starts off with the kedushas halayla, all right? The mitzvos halayla, and we said that it's not just mitzvos halayla, but it's a separate. The mitzvos are mahava, a separate entity of kedusha, the kedushas halayla. Leil shemur mu lad Hashem. So Leil Skadish Chag is a separate Kedusha, and the mitzvahs Halayla on Mahava constitute this Kedusha. So that's, you start off with Kedusha Halayla, okay, and then you go into the mitzvahs, the halachas of how to do the mitzvah, and then Baruch Amar and Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem Salam Yisrael, and the Abba Bonim. We understand that, and then Metchila is already the different Haggadah. So that's the first Haggadah. Metchila is the next Haggadah from Metchila to Leon. It's fine. Then you come to the next thing the Mishnah says you have to do is Doresh Kol Parsha Me'arami Oved Avi, right? Okay, so that's the Elamot. What's this Vishamda? Vishamda of Sen Vana Shlo Echo Do Vadam on Lim Chalaseno. It's very nice. But what's it got to do with Sibbutzim Yisrael? I mean, we're not discussing that. If you want to say that, I mean, you say like this. So once you chayev and shevach on Sibbutzim Mitzrayim, so now you chayev and shevach for all the times, not just. I understand that. It's like once you stop being mishabeach, so that's a problem in halacha. Always has a problem. In Yadis, you have a problem with Shvacha Shemakam. Shvacha Shemakam, how do you, first of all, what right do you have to do it? And then, how do you stop? You can't stop. The problem, how do you stop? So I understand that. So that's why a lot of times things on the Gororim, like in Bichas HaMazon, you have all these different, because you can't just stop. You can't just stop with the Zonas HaKol. Okay. So you have to keep going. So, fine. But that's a separate halacha. Me mal gurus Hashem yishmi kol tilaso. So you can't just stop abruptly in one incident. So that makes sense that once meshavech on sees Mitzrayim, so you have to meshavech on everything cold over door. But that doesn't belong over here. Basically, where should that be? It should be the end of the Haggadah. maybe the fourth coast. I don't know, maybe the end of the third coast after Hallel. I mean, it's not even there, actually. Because then you go back specifically to Mitzrayim. I mean, and how you don't say in the Hallel that because of every all through the ages, it doesn't say that. It says it says Ticha Nachnu Chayavim LaHodos LaHallel LaShabeach LaFor LaRom LaHadav LaVarch LaAl Kesel Nishos LaVasein VaLonu as Kol Nisim Ha'Ela. Which ones? Hotzionu Me'Avdus LaChayrus MiYagam LaSimcha Me'Evel Yomtiv MiShibud LaGula VaNoma LaFonov Shira Chadosha HaLuka. Okay. The Nam Alephanov. It should be the Nam Alephanov, right? Because okay. So it says only restricts it, as a matter of fact. Over here it's restricting. But if the Alachov is Visham, that you have to be Meshabeach because of Mitzrayim about everything. So over here this would be the place to put it. And then you'd say the low, what do you say? Shelo echad dovar amar len chalaseinu shebechol dovar dar amdu len chalaseinu v'karsh baruch matzayim v'yadam v'chayiv and shelo choy dofer that too. Doesn't say it. It restricts it over here. On the contrary, restricts it to Yitzchus Mitzrayim. So that it's not logical. Okay? And you don't have it, you really... I mean, the closest you get to it is Shvoch Hamaschal Agoyim. I mean, Ashele Yaducha, because you're talking about. But that's really, that has to do with the Shvoch Hamaschal Agoyim, Ashele Yaducha, is really because it's speaking about Lossed Lavo. It's not because of the. It's not a really a shiz. There's nothing to do with the idea of being a Shabbat Kodesh Baruch Hu for every event throughout history. Okay? Shvoch Hamaschal Agoyim, Ashele Yaducha, it's really. You're being mevakeh. You're asking to us about kosher for the gula asida, because that's really the fourth coast is gula asida. Okay, so the Hisham that stands out unique, like somehow or other in the middle over there, what's it doing there? Okay. All right. The other question I wanted to discuss is also the something which. We've spoken about it, but it always seems to somehow or other seems a little difficult by the Chacham. The problem with the Chacham. Chacham ma'omer ma'edus v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem lakinu eschem va'af ato emelo kehilchos ha'pesach ein maftirin achapesach afikama. Okay, so of course, I mean. You don't have to look too far to raise a question. What is this halacha of? What's so important about this halacha of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikama? What's so unique about that halacha? So some say that the right gears are supposed to be Ad Ein Maftir Nachar, even Ad Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikama. Even the smallest halacha, you have to go through with him. Okay, so but the gears that we have. Doesn't say ad ein maftir. It says at emol lo and kihilchos a pesach. As it should say at vafat emol lo hilchos a pesach. Ein maftir a pesach. That's the one you want to teach him. Okay, what's kihilchos a pesach? Okay, so it is difficult. Yes, yeah. The bris main up psalm where it says avodim vino osam arba meos shana. So. That over there, it's not so difficult to explain the mikra because God is speaking to Avraham Avinu. He says, "Ger yez zaracho be'eretz l'olam." So it has to start from the time that he has zera, which is from the time of the birth of Yitzchak. Okay, ger yez zaracho be'eretz l'olam, and then va'avodim ve'inu osam is the va'avodim ve'inu osam. Arba Meos Shana, so yeah. So they explain what the Arba Meos Shana video, of course, it starts from Yitzchak, but there's a reason, logical reason why I start from Yitzchak. But first of all, that's a contradiction too, because over here it says Moshe Meos Shana is Shloshim Shana Arba Meos Shana, so it doesn't work out. It's not even consistent with that with that nevuah. The way they learn the pasuk over there is ger yeh zaracho be'eretz lo lohem va'avodim ve'inu osam, and arba me'os shana is going on ki ger yeh zaracho. Okay, I mean you can ger yeh zaracho be'eretz lo lohem, and then it's like a comma va'avodim ve'inu osam, and then arba me'os shana is going back on ger yeh zaracho. So there you could work out the pasuk. But over here you just can't work it out. I mean, there's no way. Whatever you're going to twist and turn, it's just not going to work out. You just can't work it out. It's impossible. Over there, you have an eitzah. And over there, I understand also why it was written cryptically, because they weren't supposed to know exactly how that pasuk is supposed to be read, because they weren't supposed to know when they had that mesorah from Geir Zachar Baratzal Vanav Inosam. And Abba Me'a Shana, but they knew that because that was a Dvar Hashem that they knew, but they weren't supposed to know when the Kates was. They weren't supposed to know. So that's why the Pasuk was written in a cryptic way. Later they saw that this is the way you have to read the Pasuk. Ki ger yeh zaracho, comma, vavod nevinosam, comma, and then Abba Me'a Shana is going back on before. But they were unable to interpret. As a matter of fact, that was the ones that went earlier, because they based themselves on that Dvar Hashem. They weren't supposed to do that. You're not supposed to try to figure it out. That's it. You have to work according to Tzchav Onesh. Okay, so that I understand. I understand why it was written that way, in a funny way. And the pasuk can be, if you break up the pasuk, it does work out. But over here, there's nothing you can do. It just doesn't work out. I mean, okay, I'm just... That was somebody asked a question with regard to the first question I raised. Okay. There's a Ramban in the end of Bo. Okay. Ramban in the end of Bo, which is a difficult Ramban. A lot of people are attracted to the Ramban because in their mind it seems appealing to certain emotional views that they hold. But the Ramban is a difficult Ramban. It's a long Ramban. Ramban talks about the whole concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he explains that he says Va'alta Omer Lecha Klal B'tam Mitzvos Rabos. Okay, I'm going to explain a lot of mitzvahs. And he explains that, and he explains it's Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he says there were various views about God. That some denied God, some maintained that God exists, but he has nothing to do with this earth, with man, and some said that God doesn't know particulars. It's no philosophical problem. How can God know particulars? So some were convinced that God didn't know particulars. Because it seems Bilam HaRosh had some kind of an idea like that, because he thought that maybe God doesn't know certain particulars. Here's a different idea. But that concept, that's a philosophical, an old philosophical problem. God's knowledge of particulars. So the Ramban says some were of the opinion that God doesn't know all particulars. He only knows universals, okay, and various views that existed. They believed in Kadmas Olam. So the Ramban says that the Nisim in Mitzrayim put all these philosophical questions to rest, because Nisim demonstrate Chiddush Olam, okay, Chiddush Olam, and they demonstrate that God has a direct role in what occurs here. He knows the details, and he acts on the details. And then the Ramban says that's the reason for many mitzvahs. He says all, basically what the Ramban says, all mitzvahs really are to teach us this one concept. They all revolve around this concept. He says that's the reason for tefillin and for mezuzahs. And he says, V'chein kol k'yotze ben mitzvos rabo zeichel yitzis Mitzrayim. Why, in other words, Ramban is answering the question, how come everything's always zeichel yitzis Mitzrayim? What's Zechel Zisrayim? So the Rabban explains, because this is the very fundamental principle upon which the whole Torah is based, the idea of Hashgachas Hashem. Okay? He says, that's what he says. So he says, yeah. Excuse me? Oh, because that you can't see. See, that you can't tell that. You can just say it was a natural thing. Because you don't find, you know, in other words, we know it's Hashgacha only because the Torah was written and the Torah explains it. But others say, what? All right, so he escaped miraculously from the slave. Other people have things like that happen. That's not going to prove anything. Okay? And even the biggest nace you have, I mean, with Sarah, okay, it's a strange phenomenon, but that's not not Nisim Goyim that demonstrate Hashgachas Hashem. So he says, so the Ramban says that then he says in the end, Min Nisim Agidolim HaMeforsanim. He says, so that's why you have to have the big Nisim, because those are clear demonstrations of the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to man. He says, once you have those, Odam Moda B'Nisim HaNastarim. He says the real purpose is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to make Nisim in every generation. He's not going to. Bavurke HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yase os mofes b'chol dor le'enei kol rosho kofer. He says Yitzavo sonu shenase tomet zikaron v'os l'ashero v'enenu v'natik adovro b'enenu uv'enenu livnehem uv'nehem l'dor acharon v'hechmir ma'od b'nyin azeh. Yeah, why is Achilas Chametz such a serious thing? Chayef Karas. Chazi, you think it's worse? No, Chametz is Chayef Karas. He says, but it's a Pesach. It's an Asay, Chayef Karas. Okay, he says, because you see the Torah by doing that is showing you, emphasizing, Onshim always emphasizes the severity and the seriousness of the mitzvah. So the Torah is emphasizing, this is the Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Holy Yisrael. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim carries with it a demonstration of the Yesod of what? Of the Yesod of Hashgacha. That's what that's the whole concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what it says. So min anisim agdolim amafarsamim, from those open nisim which occurred, he says that's how we know Odom Moda b'nisim hanestorim shehem Yesod HaTorah kula. Interesting Ramban. He says all Yesod the whole Yisod, the Yisod of the whole Torah. He says, "She'ein la'odom chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, ad she'namin b'chol devarenu mekrenu, she'kulam nisim, ein bohem teva, u'min hogo shel olam, bein barabim bein b'yochid, ele'im yase ha'mitzvah yatzlichenu secharo, v'myavor alheim yachrisenu oncho, hakol b'gzeras elyon, kasher iskarti kvar." Okay, yeah, so of course people make a mistake in this Ramban. They think the Ramban is saying, because they just took the literal expression of the Ramban, because Ramban says Shinamin b'chol v'reinu u'mekreinu shekulam nisim ein b'am teva manavah shalom. So they thought the Ramban meant that there's nothing out, every single thing that occurs is Hashgacha, but the Ramban didn't mean that, because Ramban himself said in Sefer Bereishis by on the pasuk Yedativ Lamana Sheyetzav as Bonav as Beso Achra Veshamu Dach Hashem Lasa Sdaka Mishpat. So Ramban says Ki Yedativ means Avram Avinu is under the Ashgacha, fully under the Ashgacha. But he says quite clearly, explicitly, that the average person is not always under the Ashgacha, but he's under the laws of chance. He's under the laws of chance, and he says Ramban not only says it, but he quotes psukim, Hinein Ad Hashem Al Yireyov. Psukim, many psukim in Tanakh, that he says that attest to this truth, and it's a pasuk according to Ramban, Ki Yedativ. So there was a question, but the Ramban asserts himself over here, and various people take this Ramban, and of course they just negate the other Ramban as if he never said it. I mean, just is this impossible? You can't do that. Okay. If anything, you should negate this Ramban, because this Ramban is not speaking clearly about the problem. It's just a phrase that catches the mind of the person that has a desire to believe certain things. So they grab onto this to the statement of Ramban. Ramban does not mean that. No, but what does the Ramban mean? What does the Ramban mean? And I think this is really the yisod of that explains the problems we dealt with before. And it has to do with the last shiur I gave. Okay, last shiur I gave. The last shiur I gave about Purim, so I tried to show that there are two types that I try to demonstrate that there are two different types of existences that we as human beings confront. And one of them is the physical world and the laws of causation. Okay? And I mentioned the memra from Chazal and Chulin on the Birkas HaLavona. Okay? And I said that Chazal took the Chama to represent, in their mashal, they took the Chama to represent the laws of causation, the physical laws of the universe. Okay? But there's another kind of law that has to do with intrinsic existence, which means, and that's what Mordechai expressed when he said that Revach Vatzala Yamod LaYehudim Mimakom Acher. He was expressing that principle that Klal Yisrael is endowed with intrinsic existence. Okay, I would say like this. I would say that there's a difference, not necessary existence, but I say in intrinsic existence. It's like a secondary necessary existence. Okay, what do I mean? Okay, because the only real existence is God. That's the Yisod Yisodos, V'amar HaChachmos, Leida SheYeshom Melakam Matzoi. That's the Yisod of Kol Targola. That's the Yisod. The Yisod is that there's only one absolute existence. That's God. That's the Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya, Yitke Vavke, as the Ram says, Mar Nevacham. What is Shem Havaya? Shem Havaya means, it's a word that means absolute existence. Okay? So there's only one, what the philosophers call necessary existence. So there's only one necessary existence. Okay? Yes, that's right. Avadai, kishmo, avadai, kishmo, kishmo, avadai, shmo kenti losa. That's the right way to do it. Yeah, that's the right way. Shmo kenti. Kishimcho kenti losa. All right, because it's the same thing, right? Yeah, not avadai, shmo. Avadai, shmo kenti losa. God is the only vadai. He's the only real existence. So we have existence, but our existence, we're created existences. Okay, so that's what I mean by secondary. But through a certain process, our existence becomes raised to the level of necessary. Necessary not in an intrinsic sense, but in a secondary sense, as a created, now that we are created, so our existence, which is not intrinsically necessary, it's contingent upon God's existence and God's will. Machash choyin choyin to masav rachis. There's a constant, his constant will is why we exist, but now we can exist in two ways. Now that we're secondary, we can exist in two ways. We can either be subject to laws of chance, which means that, like everything else, things that come into being and go out of being, go out of existence, or we can partake of eternal existence, even though we're not necessary. So that's what I'm saying. Let's call it intrinsic existence. Right? I mean, it's a bit. There's no words. The words get bad. I mean, I'd say secondary necessary existence, because we're not intrinsic in the true sense. But now that we, as created beings, you see, we partake of existence if we live in a certain manner. Okay? We live in a certain manner. Okay. That's really... That is... You see... That... What is... The Ramban says... See, what the Ramban is saying is like this. What the Ramban is saying is like this. You see, the Ramban says that everything revolves around this yisod. This is not the yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula. I want you to understand that. The yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula is really what the Rambam says. Yisod of yisodos is leida sheyesh hamalakah motzui. Okay, that's the yisod. That is the yisod. And avas Hashem is really not tied to Ashgacha. But the second yisod is the yisod of Ashgacha. Which means to say, because that's a metaphysical yisod, that man has a metaphysical essence. Okay? Man has a metaphysical essence. That's a yisod that was revealed to us through Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that his existence, you see, his existence is determined by a certain way of life, and when he lives in a certain manner, then he has a metaphysical existence. Okay. So, yeah. What the Ramban means over here is not that everybody is constantly under Ashgacha. That's not what he's trying to point out. You see, you have to understand the context of the Ramban. The Ramban is trying to say, he says, a person does not have a chelik in Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu unless he believes in this concept of the metaphysical existence, because that's Kol HaTorah Kula. In other words, you could be a great philosopher if you just believe in God and you don't believe in Ashgacha, but the difference between a philosopher, in other words, an Aristotle, and between Yahadus, the difference is precisely in this one idea. Namely, that this creator endowed certain creatures with necessary existence. And if they live in a certain manner, that then certain things will, the laws of nature will be, so to speak, suspended in order for them to continue to exist. They're primary insofar as the laws of nature are concerned. So Ramban means, because Ramban says, I explained this elsewhere. Because he says, for instance, what he says over there is, he says, V'nasati gishmechem b'itam. Okay, so he says it's Shloka Derech HaTeva. How's it possible? Every time it always rains the same time. It's Shloka Derech HaTeva. So he says, that's the yisod of the Torah is, that the necessary existence, in other words, what Chazal used the Levana to signify, is something which, in creation, works out, that God works it out, that overrides or is primary to the laws of nature, to the causal laws. Okay, he says that's Kol HaTorah Kula. I mean, it's simple. That's Kol HaTorah Kula, because that's what the whole Torah says. If you listen to the Shema, all the brachas and all the klolas all basically revolve around that one idea. Okay, That's what it means. You don't have a chelik in Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu if you don't believe this, because that's Kol Torah. That's what the whole Torah is about. The whole Torah is that if you live in a certain way, so then you'll have Eretz Yisrael. Well, the whole system, I mean, it's all based on that concept. That's what he means. He doesn't mean it's the Yisod HaYisodos. He means it's the Yisod of Torah. Okay? As distinguished from the Yisod HaYisodos, which is simply a philosophical idea, which is the most basic idea. There's no question about that. That is the most basic idea. But that idea, a philosopher can have also. But he can't have a part in Torah's Moshe if that's the only idea he has. Because Torah's Moshe is saying that it's not simply that, but now there are two different forces, and insofar as man partakes of the metaphysical, now his existence has changed. And his existence will take on primary importance, and the laws of nature will somehow or other become secondary. That's Rebbech Batzolo Yama Leihudim Machamacha. Okay? Yes. You're right. That's true. But that's even more what the Ramban is saying. In other words, that's the bris the brises that they were makabo ba'ala b'shua. Ba'ala b'shua means you can't just take it and now you'll partake of necessary existence. But if you leave it, so now I'm subject to the laws of chance. That's what the Klola. Klola says that now if you leave it, you can't live according to the laws of chance. Other countries can make it that way. Other nations can, but you can't. Because now you're under the Klola. That's negative Ashgacha. Okay, it's negative Ashgacha. It's negative Ashgacha. Okay. What? Yeah, negative Ashgacha individual is Kashe Yasser Ish has been Oor Hashem Lekachem Yasser Eko. Esashe Yehav Hashem Yechiyach. Pasuk HaMishlei. So you see that that's an onish. That's an onish. Onish.
Certain level.
That's Pasuk says, not Pasuk. It's another one. In the Ramban says the Pasuk straight through. It means to say that if a person has an onish in Minashmani, he has to be on a high level. A person just suffers. That's nothing. Just was a chance. Okay. That's another right. I mean, of course, the Ramban's principle in Breishis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're 100% right. The philosophers maintain a person that lives a philosophical life, the best life, that it is the best life, but they just didn't maintain that there's a metaphysical reality behind it. It's just the best life. Fine. But he lives, he dies, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's also, according to them, that's a natural phenomenon. There's no conflict. There's no conflict, according to them, between the Chama and the Lavana. That's basically what the difference is. There's no conflict and there's no one working out precisely how this conflict should be resolved. I mean, that's the whole klal of Kol HaTorah Kula is that God works, is the only one that can work out there are two conflicting forces. What's the resolution to the conflict? God works out the resolution. And he works it out in different ways on different levels, depending on the individuals, depending on the level of the individuals. It's a different level. I explained last time. It's a different level, but it's accidental. It's not essential. You see, as I explained last time, it's accidental. In other words, accidentally, if you live this way, so then you have a better life. But it's not you're partaking of something essential, a metaphysical reality. It's a different kind of a concept. The example is like if two people are friendly, so a philosopher will say, well, if they're friendly, they're going to avoid arguments. So that's a good thing, right? Yeah, but that's an accidental thing. In other words, there is no friendliness is not an essential thing that exists in the universe. According to Yahadus, if you're Makayim v'ahavt l'recha kamocha, that is an essential. The person is essentially different. He partakes of existence to a greater degree. The difference will be that insofar as the philosopher is concerned, that which naturally results from that action on the part of the human being will take place and nothing else. But according to us, it's not true. According to us, more will take place. Because the person's on a higher level, so different events, he will be spared from natural results that occur because of different events. So it's a metaphysical, essential reality. That's the difference. Okay? So the Ramban, the Ramban says, what the Ramban is saying, I mean, you know, people, the Ramban is not trying to be from over here. I mean, when he says, She'ein lo'adam chelik v'taras marash v'beinu ha'chenamim b'chol v'arenim v'greinu, he's just explaining to you the idea that's the difference between taras marash v'beinu and between a philosopher. Basically, that's what the Ramban is saying. That's kol ha'torah. What did the Torah add? Torah added one thing. That it's not as simple as you think. You think it's just a matter of that God created the universe, and therefore He's even if you believe in creation, okay, but and you recognize God, and even Mekayim Avas Hashem, that you can be Mekayim without the Torah, but the whole Torah came to add a new dimension. And what is that dimension? That dimension is that there's a concept when a person lives in a certain manner that he partakes of necessary existence in a secondary manner. You understand what I'm saying? That's the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. Ramban just summed it up, basically, in one idea. And he said, what is the thing that demonstrates that idea, that the Torah came to add? What demonstrates it? Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why so much revolves around Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ramban put it in a beautiful way. That's what the Ramban said, basically. Okay? Yeah. So therefore, So therefore, you see, it's an interesting thing. That's the what comes out is that everything, you see, this explains a lot of things in the explains a lot of things. But you see, what this explains essentially, you see, the question is there any relationship between Purim and between Pesach? Between Purim and between Pesach? I mean, it's not just the fact that I gave you a share of Purim and you gave a share of Pesach. Right? Is there any relationship between Purim and Pesach? And it's, is it accidental or essential? Okay? Right. Okay. No. It's a Gemara, really. The Gemara says that there's an intrinsic relationship between Purim and between Pesach. Okay? Because the Gemara says, we have a big problem. With the halachic system, you have a big problem when you have Adar Sheni. Adar Sheni, it sounds like a simple thing. So you add an extra month, it's very good. No. It's not so simple. Because once you start changing things in our system, the whole system already becomes involved. Okay? So the question is, now you're adding another month. What is this month? Is it the last month of the year? Are there 12 months in the year and this is in addition to the year? Or is there, now there's 13 months? There are all kinds of questions start arising. And it wouldn't be so bad if there weren't certain mitzvahs that were tied to the last month. But it just so happens there are mitzvahs tied to Adar, okay? And the mitzvahs, two groups of mitzvahs really. One is a Kriyas of Parshas and the other one is Purim, okay? So the Gemara has a whole discussion on this, a whole intricate halachic discussion on how you resolve this problem with the 2 months. All right. So the Gemara says basically, and this is what we hold: we go the second Adar, All right. Why the second Adar? So the Gemara says that the first Adar really has an advantage too. It comes out that you have a choice. I'm not going to go into the sugya, but it comes out, if you learn the sugya halachically, it's a very beautiful sugya. Learn the sugya halachically, you see that it comes out logically, a very unique kind of halachic situation there. It's unique, you know, certain areas of Shas follow the general principles, worked out beautifully, but this is like a unique halachic phenomenon. It's a halachic phenomenon where you have two realities, you're confronted with two halachic realities, dependent, and they're both correct. So you have to resolve it. So they're both correct. Adar Rishon is correct from one framework of halachic reality, and Adar Sheni is correct from another framework. So they both vie for existence, reality, halachically. It's a halachic battle. So the Gemara says that you have to resolve it somehow. So one way to resolve it was through the principle of Ein Mafrin Ala Mitzvahs. Ein Mafrin Ala Mitzvahs means it's not a halach in the cheft, it's a halach in opportunity. First opportunity, you have to do something. That's Ein Mafrin Ala Mitzvahs. That's why you have the problem on Shabbos with the challahs, which one's closer? Because if you want to cut the bottom one, but if the bottom one's further away, it's going to have a problem with Ein Mafrin Ala Mitzvahs. Why? The challahs on mitzvahs, they have no kedusha. But Ein Mafrin Ala Mitzvahs doesn't mean just kedusha. Ein Mafrin Ala Mitzvahs means opportunity. You can't bypass an opportunity of halach in the person. The person can't bypass an opportunity. So one way to resolve it was Ein Mafrin Ala Mitzvahs, to take the first order. Okay? But the second way to resolve it, the way we hold, is because smichas geula legeula odif. Alright? So you see that the halacha maintains that there's a close relationship between Purim and between Pesach. And based on that, we say that Purim's no good, it's invalid, unless it's samach. You want to be samach Purim to Pesach. You don't want Purim to be unrelated to Pesach. Okay? So apparently apparently you see that Purim expresses the same idea of Pesach. Why is it? What is it? So the answer is very plain. The answer is that what is the definition of Geula? So you have to understand Geula. The whole Yetzias, the whole night of the Seder revolves around one concept. One concept. Geula. That's the whole night of Seder. Basically, it's two concepts. One is Geula and one is Cheiros. But Geula. Geula is a Vigalti. The four kosis is four kosher Geula. Okay? So Geula is the underlying theme of the whole night of Pesach. What is Geula? Does Geula mean God somehow capriciously redeemed us? He decided to redeem us. It's just an act on his part through his generosity to redeem us. Is that all it is? A simple idea like that? No. Yadis maintains gula is a deeper idea. It's a deeper concept of gula. Okay, a child understands that way. But gula is a deeper idea. The concept of gula is the very concept of man, of Klal Yisrael, having an intrinsic existence based upon the way that they live. You see, that's the whole concept of gula. Gula is not really a unique concept. That's the beauty of that Ramban. You see, that's what the Ramban is trying to show. The Ramban says, Uminanisim ha'galuyim. He says, Minanisim ha'gedolim ha'meforsamim, Adamoda benisim ha'nestorim, Shehen yisod ha'Torah kula. What does it mean? It means Gulas Mitzrayim reflects this idea, which is the idea that man partakes of necessary, his existence is changed, his existence becomes realized, it becomes intrinsic when he lives in a certain manner. So Geula is not a strange action, but that's the yesod of Geula. That's the very concept of Geula. So the Gemara says beautifully. So what is a Purim? Purim is Nisim HaNestarim. Okay, that's Revach Hatzol Yamach Lahirim Makam Acher. So Purim is very closely related. Lismach Geula L'Geula is very important. That's a kiyum in the whole Pirsum Hanes, because the Pirsum Hanes is the recognition of the idea of Gula. Gula is not simply an act on the part of the Creator. Gula is based upon the whole Yesod HaTorah, which means that when man lives in a certain manner, the existence of the soul is raised to a different level. His existence becomes realized. Okay, man's soul begins with a potential for existence, basically, and it becomes realized through the ideas that it absorbs. That's really the concept of Geula. There's no difference between Nisim Geluyim and Meforsamim and Nisim Nestorim. There's no difference. It's the same idea. It's the exact same concept. But people make a mistake. They think there's a difference. They think these are Nisim Geluyim. Oh, these are miracles. Great miracles. Miracles, miracles don't really mean anything. Miracles, miracles is like the Ramban says. God's not going to make miracles to impress every Russia in every door. That's a childish idea of miracles. Miracles reflect a certain principle. To the Chacham, miracles reflect a certain principle, a certain yesod in terms of human existence. That's really the whole idea of Geulas Mitzrayim. That's what Ramban says, beautiful Ramban. The way he says, "Min anisim agdolim ha'meforsamim," people are overcome by the sensationalism of the nisim. That's just simply an emotional level. You understand? It's not the sensationalism of the nisim. It's the concept behind the nisim that the whole universe works in a certain way with regard to human existence. That's the concept. That's a different idea, different idea. And over there, the Nisim Gluyim and the Nisim that are Nestarim are the same. That's what the Ramban means. The Ramban means that a person doesn't have a part, doesn't have a chelik in Torah's Moshe, unless he believes this. Bein b'rab and bein b'yachid. He doesn't mean every single thing. When he says every single thing, he means it could occur in every single area. That there is no area that is devoid of this phenomenon. That's what he means. V'chol mekreinu v'chol. He doesn't mean to say in every single. You understand what I'm saying? He's explaining. You have to understand the context of the Ramban, what he's talking about. That's precisely what the Ramban is. Ramban is saying that if a person is simply impressed with Nisim, he doesn't understand Tzias Mitzrayim. Then so why did God, everything has to revolve around Tzias Mitzrayim? That happened once, he's impressed, that's it. No, because it's Yesod of Kol HaTorah Kulo L'Dorei Doros, L'Olam Vod, because it reflects a metaphysical idea. Geula reflects that idea. That's really what Geula is. That's why the Gemara says, Lismoch Geula, Geula is very important. Why? Because in the Nisim that happened on Purim, those are Nisim Nestarim. You should be so make that to the Nisim Gluyim to demonstrate the idea that it's one concept, it's one idea. That the important thing is to have knowledge of that concept and that idea. That's what the Torah taught us. You see, that's Lismoch Geula, Geula. That's why the Gemara says it. Okay. Yeah, I think it's expressed in the Pasuk in the Torah, because the Pasuk says In the end of Shmini, it says the Yisem Kedoshim. Repeats it twice, actually. The Yisem Kedoshim Ki Kadosh Ani. What is it? It's a strange pasuk. Yisem Kedoshim Ki Kadosh Ani. We have no sheches to God's kedusha. Man is nothing. Man is just a created being. How can he be Yisem Kedoshim Pasuk? Kenir Shal Kechem. It's in the end of Shmini. V'iskadishtem v'yisem kadoshim ki kadosh oni k'ini r'shem malaschem me'eretz mitzrayim liyos lachem lelokim v'yisem kadoshim ki kadosh oni. It's right in the part. What does it mean? It means that why is it suddenly all of Yitzis Mitzrayim is tied to this idea? It says k'ini r'shem malaschem me'eretz mitzrayim liyos lachem lelokim v'yisem kadoshim ki kadosh oni. What does it mean? It means to say that if you raise yourself to a different level of existence, so then, in a sense, you see, you partake. In a sense, you approach a true existence. Only in a secondary sense, you understand? Because God is kadosh oni. God is intrinsic, absolute existence, necessary existence. But man's existence can be related to God's existence, insofar as when he raises himself to a certain level, he also partakes of a necessary existence. Different, qualitatively different, I mean, but it's still, the concept is that through relating to God, God is a kaddish, God is an absolute kaddish, but man can also be a kaddish in his level. He could also be a kaddish, and his existence is changed, and it partakes of eternity. He can partake of eternity. Okay, that's what the pasuk means, and that's the pasuk says. Ani Hashem Malaschem Eretz Yisrael. That's the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the whole concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So now we can understand. Now we can understand the idea. What? Yeah, Mani Afato. Yeah, Mani Afato. That's right. Not just right. That's correct. It means man's existence. It becomes real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate reality, but man can exist in a way where he partakes of reality, or where he just simply is subject to the laws of chance. He can partake of reality on his level. Okay? The Yisem Kedoshim said there is a relationship. There is a relationship. Okay. It's an interesting concept. That's a Pasuk in the Torah. Yisem Kedoshim Kadosh Ani. Okay. Now you understand what the two things. What's the Vehisha Amda? What's the Vehisha Amda? You see, that's really what the Vehisha Amda is. Vehisha Amda Lavoseinu Volano Shelo Echod Bilvad Omar Aleinu L'Chaloseinu L'Shebachol Dor V'Dor Omdum Aleinu L'Chaloseinu V'Kodesh Baruch Matzilenim Yadam. What does it mean? It means that the idea of Geula is not restricted to an event that occurred in Mitzrayim. You see, that's what it's an introduction. It's giving you the Vehishamda really defines the concept of Geula. Okay? The Vehishamda is not Shevach V'Hodah. It is not Shevach V'Hodah on all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us down through the ages. Of course, that requires Shevach V'Hodah, but that's not the night of Pesach. Okay? Now God is restricted to Yitzchus Mitzrayim. But what the Vehishamda is telling us is the idea, the concept of Geula. That's the Hishamda's teaching. His teaching. What is Geula? Geula is necessary existence. Insofar as Klal Yisrael, the Hishamda lavasin of lunch lochel bevaral malachas elasha bechol dor vador omdum len lachalasin akarish bracha matzanim yenam. What does that mean? It means that that's the concept of Geula, is necessary existence. So before the tzeila, why is it over here in Nagada? Very simply, because there's something that's unintelligible in the parsha of Arami Ovid of it. And that's the very first part of Arami Yavad Ravi. It doesn't make any sense. Arami Yavad Ravi. What is it? Vayer Shusav. Ovi Yorad L'Mitzrayim. That's the beginning of the story, right? What's Arami Yavad Ravi? So it says, Tzei Olamad. Ma Bikesh Lovan Arami Lasos L'Yakov Avinu. Shepar L'Gozer Alalas Chorim. V'Lovan Bikesh Lakras HaKol. What's Shechas have to do with Yitzchus Mitzrayim? This is what happened before. What does it have to do with it? So it's an interesting thing. You see the way the Baal HaGadol learned, what does it mean, V'Lovan Bikesh Lakras HaKol? That itself is a strange thing. He wanted to kill Yaakov. Where's Lakras HaKol? Ah, so you could say Derech Pshat, that it means that at that time, Yaakov, you know, was 20 years in the house of Laban, so his kids were very young. So if he would have killed Yaakov, he'd take back his daughters and his kids, that would be the end of the whole system. He's a plan for it. But I think Balagod is saying, really, literally, Laban bikish lakar sakol, it's an interesting thing. It means that he actually wanted to kill even his own daughters. If you take a look in the Pesukim, Pesukim seem to indicate that. Why? Because the Pesukim say that there's one thing. See, when he came after him, so he said like this. He said, he says, Yesh la'el yodi lasos imochem ra, when he's talking to Yaakov. You see? Ve'lokeya vichem emesh amar lai lemar. You see? It says, he's talking to Yaakov. Okay. But then he suddenly switches to the plural. Who's the chem? The plural. Plural is the whole group. You see. And then also, what did Yaakov say? Yaakov said to him. He says, you see. Who? So he says, where did he go? He went to the tents of his daughters. So apparently, if they would have had the stolen goods, so he would have killed them. So I mean, you could talk your way out of it. But the plain pshat, certainly, you can say there were other people there, maybe somebody else. Though. I mean, the Ramban has a little thing. But the plain pshat, I think the Baal HaGod interprets it literally. And the biggest ray, as far as I'm concerned, is when he does tshuva, so to speak. When a Rasha does tshuva, you have to listen very carefully what he says. Usually what he says he's not doing is exactly what he wanted to do. You see, that's how it works by a Rasha. So like by Bilam also, Chazal say, that it's all based on what he really wanted to do. His brachas were based on the way he wanted to really curse the Jews. It says, "Vayan lovin vayam lo yagav abanos benosay vabanim bonai vatzon tzoni v'chol asheato roa lihu." Okay, v'livnosay, he says, "Moese lo eila hayom." What do you mean, "Moese lo eila hayom"? Oh, livnei mashe yilado. What was supposed to do them? So apparently, he changed his mind. He wanted to kill them. You see, in other words, basically, he was in a rage. He was in a fit. He ran after Lovin, always controlled himself, because Lovin was the best businessman. Always very nice, smiling, hello, how are you? Pat everybody in the back, he knew how to talk. But over here, he lost himself in a crazy rage, and he really wanted to kill his own offspring. That's why he says, Mo'esa Leila Hayam. He might say, I can't do that. But why, he says very simply. He says, because once he calmed down, he says, Habanos benosai v'abonim bonai v'atzon tzoni. V'chol asher ato ro'el lihu. See? The Russia can only be good when it's his. See? That's exactly what he said. So once he was calmed down, and he saw, okay, now it's mine, I can identify with this. So now, how can I do any other than? But before, it wasn't his, because they ran away. So that when it wasn't his, he would have killed his own daughters and his own grandchildren. It's an interesting, but that's what the Baal HaGadah says. Baal HaGadah interprets that way. He says, "Shuvalovin bikesh lakras hakol." He wanted to destroy them all. You look between the lines in a psukim; it really supports the interpretation of the Baal HaGadah. Okay, but now getting back to the Baal HaGadah. So, what's the importance of this? So, well, this was an event that occurred before. So, what's so important about it? What's the answer? The answer is because the Tzeil Lamad begins with the introduction. It means to say that if you're going to become influenced just by the sensationalism of the Nisim Mitzrayim, you're going to miss the whole point. The point is that all these Nisim reflect only one thing, that when it's necessary existence, nothing can stop it. That's the concept. So this happened already the first time. It happened was by Lavan. Tzeil Amad. Arami Oved Avi. You must start off with Arami Oved Avi, because if you don't start with Arami Oved Avi, you missed the whole point. If you just speak about Nisim Mitzrayim, it sounds like you're being impressed with magnificent, miraculous events. That's not what the Jews are supposed to be impressed with. Okay? The Jews are supposed to be impressed with the fact that there's a concept, like the Ramban says, of necessary existence. And all these Nisim only reflect that one idea. If you get that idea out of the Nisim, then it's good. And if you don't get that idea, the whole thing's a waste of time. So it starts off with Arami Oved Avi. Why do you have to start with Mitzrayim? Start with, on the contrary, Arami Oved Avi. shows you that since his existence was necessary, okay, in order to save Yaakov. So you see the concept of necessary existence expressed over there without any sensationalism, just quietly. See, that's the Neis HaNistar. If you don't have the concept of the Neis HaNistar, then the whole yisod of the Geula is missing. So that's why the Pasuk must start off with the Rami Ovid Avi, and that's the Vishamda, really. Vishamda, like the Gruss says, Vishamda is an introduction to the Rami Ovid Avi. Of course it is. But it's explaining the whole concept and the whole idea behind the Geula. That's really, if that idea is missed, then the whole night of the talking about secrets is around is waste time. Just talking about wonderful things that happened, miraculous events. So what does it mean? It means nothing. So it happened, it's gone. But if the Yesod HaGula has to, if the person understands the Yesod HaGula, then he partakes of the idea and he partakes of the concept of necessary existence. Okay. Yeah. The reason for that is a good question. Why is it that we only stick, and you see later, Laficha Anachna Chayavim Lahodos, it's only at Yisrael Mitzrayim. You don't discuss anything else. Interesting thing. You don't discuss anything else. Okay? Just Yisrael Mitzrayim. The reason is very simple. The reason is because the Nisim Geluyim demonstrate how far, because that's Vo'era Lavram, Elizabeth Rakel Shakai, Shmir Hashem Lo Nadati Lam. What Shmir Hashem means that it was a different kind of ness, that the Teva was subordinated in a different way. So that is the greatest demonstration of necessary existence through the Nisim Geluyim. It's the greatest demonstration. It was a different. It shows the subordination of the teva on the highest on the highest level, which manifests the extent of necessary existence. So you can't detract from that. If you understand it that way, then the Nisim Geluyim is very good. But if you're just impressed with the Nisim, then it's no good. So that's why the Shevach V'Ador has to be for the extent of the necessary existence, and that's the greatest extent, so you can't minimize it by mentioning other things. Mentioning other things and minimizing. Can't do it, because that's the greatest expression of the principle. So Shevach V'Ador, you must relate only to the highest level. If you bring in other things, you're already detracting from the extent. So that's why it's only Mitzrayim. That night is dedicated only to that level. But the concept is there. That's why you have the Vishamda is beautiful, because Vishamda mentions it, but not the Torah Shevach V'Hodah. You know, the Rosh Reb Chaim is the whole coast of the entire Agada, but he put it down by Vishamda. Why? Because you see, that is not really the Haggadah. That's explaining a principle. It's a break in the whole Shevach. That's not the Shevach, because it's not a Shevach for all the Doras. That's very nice, but that's not what the night of Pesach is about. Night of Pesach is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay? Limited to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but with the universal concept. So the Yishamda is beautifully interspersed, right in the right spot, right before Rami Avi, because that's a Rami Avid Avi. That's what the Baal HaGadah says. That's a Rami, that's all a Rami Avid Avi. It means a Rami means love on our Rami. That's why he interprets it that way. Because that's the yesod of the whole concept of the Geula. Okay? Yes. No. That's a good point. Arami Oved Avi, that's a good point. As a matter of fact, it's a very good point. Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayma doesn't fit. Because Arami Oved Avi is one thing. And then Vayered Mitzrayma is going to a different thing. The answer is very simple. The answer is the Arami Oved Avi. The whole story starts from Vayered Mitzrayma. That's really where it starts. The Arami Oved Avi is not part of the history. The Arami Oved Avi is not part of the historical account. The Arami Oved Avi is an introductionary concept. You see? That's why it's a break. Arami Oved Avi is an idea. It tells you what to look for. The concept of necessary existence. Now we'll start the story. Vayered Mitzrayim Vayogar Shom Vayisham. You see? The Arami Oved Avi is not a part of the Sipra Mais. It's a concept which is placed right at the very outset, at the beginning, to give you the idea. So the Arami Oved is an event, doesn't belong to the Sipur HaMaaser really. It's an introductory event which is expressing an underlying concept, which is the yesod of the whole thing that's going to follow. That's why it's a break. Arami Oved Avi, is a break. Vayered Mitzrayim was the beginning of the Sipur. Arami Oved Avi is a concept. That's why it doesn't follow. It precisely doesn't follow. True, that's true. He's right. I mean, he's right. This seems to be in line with Metchila. Okay, but the Rav's got it. All right, but that's a separate thing. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But Vo'era, you see, Vo'era, Lavra, Mitzvah, Yaakov, Kel Shakai, Ushmiya, Doshem, Melona, Dati, Lohem. I mean, that's why it's the Shem Havaya. What does it mean, the Shem Havaya? Because the Ram says, Shem Havaya means God's absolute existence. And over here, what happened in Mitzrayim was an event insofar as man can partake of true existence. You see? The Shem Hashem is the Shem Havaya. The Shem Havaya is existence, because now existence is coming into play, and what it's going to do is move away the existence which is caused by natural law. It overrides the natural law because it's intrinsic existence. Okay, so it's tied to Shem Havaya. It's like Kikar Hashanah. Okay, now you understand. Also, there's another problem here. What does it mean? Va'afata amalok hilchas pesach. It's another problem too. Why is hilchas pesach? Sipri Yitzchus Mitzrayim is a funny mitzvah. What is really Sipri Yitzchus Mitzrayim? What are the components of Sipri Yitzchus Mitzrayim? One component is to talk about the nisim and the flaws. That's clear. No one questions that. But there's another component. Two more components. Another component is vigarata levincha, which is also very funny because it's optional. I mean, if you have a bane, fine. Don't have a bane. Bane's not there. So then, ishtar sholasa. It's a funny, I mean, you have to admit, it's some kind of a strange thing. You don't usually have a halacha, you just have a tzura, that's it. Over here, no. Is a bane there? Fine. Is not there? Okay, also good. why is that way? And then also, there's another component, the component of halacha. I mean, that's open. Va'afato emalok hilchas pesach. Right? Why should halacha really be a part of the mitzvah? I mean, we like halacha, But there's such a things that are not the study of halacha. You have to daven. It's not a time to learn. Okay, it's wrong when you see people doing chazaras hashatz or looking in svarim. That's a yetzar for learning. But the thing is that tefillin is not a time for learning. It's time for tefillah. So now it's time for shevach vodor on nisim v'neflos. Not a time for limud. Why is Hilchas HaPesach really a part of Sipri Yitzchus Mitzrayim? And Baal HaGadol says it. Va'afatam alok Hilchas HaPesach. Mo Eidus v'chukim ha'mishpatim. The Pasuk says really. Teach him the Eidus v'chukim ha'mishpatim. It's a long limud. A lot of learning over there. So why is that really a part of Sipri Yitzchus Mitzrayim? It should only be Sipur, Nisim, and Ososim, and Mosim. So what I want to say is like this. That the concept of necessary existence insofar as man is concerned is contingent upon one thing. It's contingent upon the fact that he's engaged in a world which his mind presents to him as real, and which is not, which doesn't have physical reality. You see, that's the whole thing. That's why I said there's two themes. One gula, one is cheres. By cheres, I mean the cheres insofar as the individual is concerned. It's choras al aluchos. Ein lecha ben choron al mishosik b'torah. So when a person's osik b'torah, it means a person is zoche to that eternal existence when he's involved in a world that his mind represents to him as being real, although it has nothing, no physical content. That's kala tara kula. Okay? So the halacha more than anything else reflects this concept in the most basic way. Okay? Because the halacha teaches a person that it's not the physical reality, it's a halachic reality. Halachic reality may not be physical, but it's real. For instance, I mean, you sit in a sukkah, you can't see any walls. But the halacha says, no, there are walls there. Gurachis, Gurasik, and all the halachas over there with Aaron, with Lovewood, and all these halachas, these are non-physical things. But you're sitting in a sukkah where there's no walls, but halachically you're enclosed. How is it possible? Because Yadus demands that a person recognize a reality that's presented to him in his mind, even though it's not physical. You see? So what the Baal HaGadol says like this, that the son asks Ma Eidus v'chukim v'mishpatim, so that he's the Ben Chacham. He's very smart. He classifies, he categorizes. We spoke about the Eidus. What is Eidus? What is a Chok? What is Mishpat? Okay? So he's a chacham. He categorizes. So Bala got us like this: Va'afato emolo kehilchos a pesach ain kehilchos a pesach ain maftinach a pesach afikamer. Tell him like that halacha. What is like that halacha? Because that halacha, what does halacha say? Halacha says that you have to leave. Why can't you have anything after the carbon pesach? Because you have to have the tama pesach befiv. Okay, and bismana says it's the tama matzah befiv. But is that a physical phenomenon, really? That the person is going to be tasting the carbon pesach all night long? You see, he can drink water all he wants. Okay? So what is it? No. It's a different kind. The taste is not the physical taste. You see, the taste is defined by the halacha, the fact that you can't eat afterwards. The halacha determines the reality insofar as the taste is concerned. It means to say the person knows you can't eat anything afterwards. That's the tam b'fiv, is based upon the halachic reality, not upon his taste buds. You see, it doesn't matter whether the taste is still there, it's not there. You can drink water, and that's just a physical phenomenon. But the halacha is the halachic reality is what is the essence over here. It's the halachic reality. It's the last thing he ate. The halacha was kaveya that this is the last. So halachically, the taste is b'fiv. So that's what it means. As he asked very nicely. But you teach him the halachas like the halacha of Ein Maftir Nacha Pesach Afikamon, which defines halachic reality, gives him the concept of halachic reality, because that is the vehicle through which he is zocha to geula. Geula comes about through the recognition of an abstract reality that is not physical. That's halachic reality. The whole system of halacha is that way. That's why the whole halacha. That's why the world can never understand halacha, never understand what we're trying to get at. Take a look, read the Marzunish, and what are they getting at? This detail, what's the importance of this? You say, but the importance is because it's a whole world of chokhma that's real, and through that the person is zocha to his existence becoming real. That's geula. So geula has what? I mean, what is involved in Gula? Gula has an activity that leads a person to Gula. That's Vafata Emolo Kihilchas Pesach. Okay. Yakavdil, yeah, Lavdil, Chokma, Lavdil. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, there's a halachic reality we just read yesterday in Parshas Metzora. What is a Parshas Metzora? It's the one place in the Torah where you really see the Torah went out of its way to explain halachic reality. Because it says over there, when the kohen comes in, before the kohen comes in the bias, ufino. What does Paul say? They should take out the kelim. V'lo yitmor kol asher ba'bayis. So what does it mean? Because the pronouncement of the kohen is the metamei, so it's all halacha. So if the kelim are there, they're going to become tamei. Get them out before, so they won't become tamei. You see, it's the halachic reality. But it's a very interesting thing. What is tzoras? Tzoras is a halachic disease. That's what tzoras is. It's a halachic disease. As a matter of fact, Unkelus translates tzaras, he translates it as segirusa. Right? Segirusa? Yeah. What does it mean? What does it mean? Because Unkelus was right. Because Unkelus knew that it's a halachic disease, so he knew the term tzaras, what could it be? It can't be referring to a physical disorder, because there's no such thing. It's a halachic disorder. So he says tzaras means segirusa, means it's based upon the fact that the person is locked up. The Mitzora Muzga, you see? So he says the word, actually, I would say, according to him, it comes from Tzor, the first part. I don't know where the Ayin Tov comes from, but anyways, the Tzor means enclosed, tight, you see? So Tzoras is an invented term, because it's a halachic disease, it's a halachic reality, you see? That's the whole parsha of Tzoras. Yeah. So, okay. So now the... Just give a briefing. Really, the truth of the matter is this. This whole concept that we're discussing here, this concept of Geula, is expressed most clearly where? Where this whole concept of the necessary existence of Christ is expressed where? Where the whole Sefer is dedicated to it. Shir Shirim. Basically, that's Shir Shirim. Okay? That's the Sefer of Shir Shirim. And by the way, if you look through Shir Shirim and learn the Rashis over there, you'll see that there are basically two themes. One theme is the relationship between God and Klal Yisrael, and throughout, like Rashi says right in the beginning, has to do with, it's from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim until the Churban Bayis Sheni, okay, which means it goes through the times when this relationship of necessary existence, see, the relationship of Klal Yisrael as a necessary existence, it goes off and on. It goes off and on with the tsaras. The tsaras come in and then it moves away, but then it comes back. I mean, that's the whole sipur ma'aseh of Shir HaShirim. But another concept that's prevalent in Shir HaShirim, and look through Rashi to see Rashi always had it. Chachma. Chachma is always. Take a look at Rashi. Constantly Chachma. He says where Rashi explains that you cannot give. When the Umas Olam ask questions, you must answer them with chachma, and you can't answer them with stupid. If you don't know, then don't say anything. And the chachma Yisrael, they know astronomy and all the chachmas and the whole. Look through Rashi's, Rashi and Shir HaShirim. The principle of chachmas Yisrael, chachmas Atara, the chachma Yisrael, straight all the way there, straight through. And that the two themes that's precisely what we're saying here, because the chachma of Klal Yisrael is what allows Klal Yisrael to be zocha to the other component. There's two components. There's geula, and the other component is the cheiros. The cheiros is the life of Ein Loch Ben Charon L'Mishas Gutara. That is tied, intrinsically tied to the relationship between God and Klal Yisrael. That's the whole Shir HaShirim, basically. Okay, that's the theme of the Shir HaShirim. Okay. Now let's just get back to that's why you learn Shir HaShirim on Pesach. That's why you learn Shir HaShirim on Pesach. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Anyways, let me just get back to the first question. Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yoshvu b'mitzrayim. Okay? Shloshim shana v'arba meyos shana. You see, here the Pasuk went out of its way to express an idea. And the Pasuk, of course, is always short in terms of words, but what is the pasuk expressing here? See, the bris. What did the bris bein absarim really establish? Establish an interesting concept. Because you see, by Avram Avinu, when Avram Avinu asked God by the bris of bein absarim, b'mo eda ki iroshena. So you see an interesting thing, because God told him that you're going to be progenitor of a great nation, right? Okay, fine. So he should have asked God, How do I know, with what can I be guaranteed that idea? Why did he tie it to the land? Ki Yiroshena. You see, he tied it to the land. B'moida ki Yiroshena. When he heard about Eretz Yisrael, B'moida ki Yiroshena. What's the land? The land is so important. The land is not so important. You see, the main thing was when the Yetzias Mitzrayim was to create a Mishkan right there by Har Sinai and to sit and learn with Moshe Rabbeinu the whole Sefer Vayikra. So you see that they had to become an Ummah without the land. It's not the land. And the land is only a vehicle, it's only a means. But you see, Avram Avinu perceives that the land is something more. You see, the land is something more. That's what I explained last time, that the land really, there are many things about Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the Avos had to go there, had to be there, because it's tied eternally to the personalities of the Avos. That's the concept of the Amar Samach Pelah. You see, that's one idea. Kumas Halech, every one of them had to go and live in Eretz Yisrael. We went through that. That's one thing. But there's something else, and that is the Rabbi Yitzchak in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, as I mentioned last time, which shows you that Eretz Yisrael was programmed. The concept of Eretz Yisrael is not a practical concept. It's a metaphysical idea. It's not practical. Not practical living. It's a metaphysical idea because it was programmed into the Bria, into the creation. Okay, that's the whole idea. They say listen at them. So we say no, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he gave us Eretz Yisrael. So it means it's programmed into the creation. What does it mean it's programmed into the creation? It means something. It means that when we live there, that's what the Navi says, when we live there, it's a Kiddush Hashem. What does it mean it's a Kiddush Hashem? It means when we live in Eretz Yisrael, it's a demonstration of Bria Shemayim V'aretz. That's what it means, demonstration of the Creator. Okay? There's only one other mitzvah like that. What's the other mitzvah you have like that? The other mitzvah you have there? Shabbos. Shabbos itself. Okay, Shabbos itself. And it's interesting that the land is tied to Shabbos. Because what does the Pasuk say? It says, V'shov so aretz Shabbos lot Hashem. It's an interesting thing. So it means, what does Shabbos have with the land? The answer is because living in Eretz Yisrael is a demonstration of Bria Shemayim V'aretz, because it's programmed into the Bria, into the creation. So when Klal Yisrael lives in Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, it's Hagadas Eidus that there's a Borei Olam. So if it's Hagadas Eidus there's a Borei Olam, so you have to have Shabbos over there too. The Shav Sor Shabbos Od Hashem. So Avram Avinu recognized this, and he recognized the importance that he understood that once you have an institution like that, that everyone can understand, can identify with the Kedusha Sahara through that vehicle of the Aretz, he understood it's possible to have an Ummah. So that's why he said Bamoedaki Roshena. Okay? Bamoedaki Roshena. And that was the answer was, what was the answer to Bamoedaki Roshena? The answer was what? Chazal say Kabanis. But if you look at the pasuk itself, the Chazal's pshat is a beautiful pshat, because they're saying through Kabanis, like the Rambam says, because through sublimating the instincts, which Kabanis do, that's how a person can. Because how are you going to reach a person? How are you going to reach the Hamonam? You can't reach the Hamonam because they're not thinkers. But the answer is through Kabanis, means through working with their primitive emotions and directing them to a higher level. That's the whole concept of Kabanis, the way the Rambam explains it in the Mora. I mean, fits right into the Pesukim. But that's the Chazal. But the plain literal interpretation of the Pasuk is Bamoeida Ki Roshena. It seems the plain pshat is that God over here simply sidestepped. He said, Vayamalov, Koli Egla Mishaleshes, Vayz Mishaleshes, Vayom Mishaleshes. Didn't answer him. He told him, give him instructions. Vayikachlos Kolela. Then Then he said to him, "Vayomal Avram, Yadoa Teda." The Pshuto Shel Mikra is, and both are right. This Pshuto Shel Mikra and the Torah is nitinly darish in different ways, but the Pshuto Shel Mikra also has an idea. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is Bamo Eida. What's the answer? Yadoa Teda. I mean, that's the few psukim down. It's clear that these two are related. Bamo Eida Kishen Yadoa Teda Kiger Yezacha Baris Lolohem. So, what is the Kiger Yezacha Baris Lolohem? It means through Mitzrayim, the nation is going to be built. The nation will be built. You see, you can't reach people when they're shut off the taiva. You can't reach them because they as much as they suffer, it's a strange phenomenon, but as much as a person who's a bal taiva suffers, and he suffers because taiva is never satisfied. It's constantly every desire, one philosopher put it very well, every desire is followed by either depression or another desire. So, and the person in a greater desire, and he's less happy and less happy, but is strange, as much as he suffers, he still will never withdraw. He's just going to say more. You see, that's the nature of man. That's the paradoxical nature of man. As much as he sees he's going down, he's unhappy, he'll still, no, I need more of this, will make me happier. You see, so you can't reach a person if he's shut off the taiva. So that was God's answer. How are you going to have a whole nation? Because these nations, Vavodim, Ve'inu, Osam, Abba Me'ashana, they'll be totally removed from any type of fantasy and illusion of taivas, and that's when they'll be able to be reached through the sense of superiority of ideas and Torah. That's the one thing that they had. It's the one thing that made the Ummah. That Moshe Rabbeinu taught them that these people are only physically superior to you, but they have no ideas, they don't understand anything. And if you understand the ideas of Torah, then you really are the Am Segula. You really are superior to these people who have physical power over you. So they were in a position. That was the answer. Yadoa teida kiger. What do you know? Some abame yashana. Okay. So the pasuk, God answered Avram through the. That's how the land will be able to come into existence. But once the land comes into existence, you understand, then the land itself, Eretz Yisrael, the land itself, is the vehicle through which the whole is a necessary vehicle for the whole system. Okay? For the whole system. Now, things like this, that it's not just the land. You see, it's not the land. What is the land? It's not the land. It is the fact that the person's dwelling place, where the person dwells, is defined precisely by the Hashgacha. That really is the concept that affects the that makes Eretz Yisrael the vehicle. It's not the land. It's the fact the person knows that this place is kavua, misheshes and mebreshes. This is that makes that that his very place, the ground that he treads, relates him to God. You see, that's extremely important. That's b'mo'ida ki rashena. You see, that's the concept. So really, actually, it started before, because Al Pir Hashem Yisu, Al Pir Hashem Yachanu was the moment that every place they went was Al Pir Hashem. See, Eretz Yisrael is just an extension of that idea. Al Pir Hashem Yisu, Al Pir Hashem Yachanu. Right? You understand it? So the vehicle actually began, but it only could be temporary until that's why you had to have the Mishkan right away. Right away, why don't they just go to, like people think the ignoramus is thinking there's a story of the Promised Land. Promised Land, so what are you stopping making a mission? Go there and do everything there. Okay, that would be the logical way to do it. No, it has nothing to do with that. Because the concept is to make the Ummah. And that's why the Torah emphasizes and re-emphasizes Uveholos on, it tells exactly the whole sequence that happened, Amoreish, Loiler, what was all that? It was that the very place that they existed on, the very makom was kavua. The Gemara says, halachically, it's Alpir Hashem Yisrael, it's the same place. Alpir Hashem Yisrael, Alpir Hashem Yachano. It's halachally Nuchel Shabbos. It means it's bonen and what do you call it, and Soser, from Komo. As Allah of Bonham and Sosim Kama, it's Allah of relevance. So it means to say that this Makom now was, the Makom was endowed with Ashgach. You see? Now what the Pasuk, that's precisely what the Pasuk is trying to say. So the Pasuk is not trying to give you a history over here of how long the Jews were in Mitzrayim. That's not important, you figure out yourself. What the Pasuk is saying is, this is when they left, okay? When they left, Vayisom es betzeka tarim yechmatz, okay, then Vayisu v'nei Yisrael meramsei sukosa, Vayofu es abotzek asher atzim Mitzrayim ugos matzos ki goshu mimitzrayim, and now it says, Omoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yoshu mimitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba meyos shana. What the Torah is doing in that one pasuk is, the Torah is giving you, is the history of Klal Yisrael, and it's breaking it up into two components. There's one component of our history in which there was no entity, there was no place which was related to the Ashgacha, and then there's another part of our history which was from a certain point on where the place was tied to Ashgacha Hashem. You see? That's the concept the Pasuk is trying to tell you. Now it goes like this. Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yoshva b'mitzrayim. What is b'nei Yisrael? It means the bris ben Absarim. Why bris ben Absarim? Why b'nei Yisrael? So this, I gave a shiur a while back where I showed, demonstrated, that Avram Avinu was a ben Noach. It's true. But he was the beginning of Am Yisrael. He was the beginning of Am Yisrael. Alright? And that's why Chazal say he printed coins, he minted coins, because coins means government. And it means to say that his idea separated him from other peoples, and they viewed him as a separate institution like you would look at a separate country. Okay, because his ideas were so different. The only thing is, at that time, there's only one person, but the Messiah, yes, sir, he had more, he had followers, many followers, Ram explains, many thousands of followers. But that group was, he was defined as the Ummah at that point. See, which point, when was he defined as the Ummah? Bris Ben Absar. That's when B'nai Yisrael came into existence. The concept of the Ummah Yisraelis began with Avram Avinu. So what the Pasuk is saying is as follows. The Ummah Yisraelis began with Avram Avinu, and the time there was a specific Hashgacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zaketz, that for 430 years the first part of that Ummah, first 430 years of the life of the Ummah, it did not have any place that was associated with the Ashgacha. They were Gerim. It was Gerus. Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim. Yeah, it means Mitzrayim b'shar ratzos. The Torah is not interested in telling you the history. It's not a historical statement. It's telling you the concept that there were two types of living, there were two types of moshav. One Moshe was the first 430 years in the existence of the Ummah, which was Gerus. There was no entity that tied their physical dwelling to the Ashgacha. There was no such phenomenon. And that was precisely dictated to be how long? 430 years to the day, to the day. That's what the next pasuk says. You take a look at the next pasuk. See, Vayehi miketz shloshim shana va'arba mea shana vayehi be'etzem hayom hazeh yotzu kol tzivas ha'Hashem Eretz Yisrael. It means that it was dictated, the Ashgacha dictated to the day that they should have that kind of existence, an existence of Gerus. But afterwards, Leil Shimurim Hu Lad Hashem Lotziyam Eretz Mitzrayim, it means then the Ashgacha came in, and the Ashgacha related them to a different kind of Moshev. The Moshev of Mitzrayim was 430 years. That kind of a Moshev, which means a Moshev of Gerus, you see? That's essentially what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk is breaking up the Moshev of Bnei Yisrael into two components, historically. One is from the moment they became an Ummah, where it was a Moshev of Gerus, arbitrary, to live here, to live there. Yeah, most of it was Mitzrayim, so it's Moshe Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim. That's why it mentions Mitzrayim. I'm not going to go through every little detail of where they lived here and there. It's not important. The important thing is the nature of the Moshe. It was a ger, like the Mepharshim said. I think So that means to say it was a Moshe of Gerus. There was no entity that could tie the Jew, the Ummah, to a place. But that ended precisely after 430 years. Be'etzam hayom hazeh yotzu tzvashim. Leil shimurim hu lad Hashem. That's shmira. That's baruch shom after chasal Yisrael. That means the shmiras Hashem is tied intrinsically, very much tied, to the kedushas makom, to establishing a place, a kind of moshav, where the very place is al pi ad Hashem, and it's tied to bris olam. You see, that's the meaning of the pasuk. Okay. Alpir Hashem. The Alpir Hashem started right there. Leil Shimurim Ulad Hashem Lotziyam Eretz Yisrael means from that moment on, everything they did, everywhere they went, was tied to Ashgacha. You see? From that moment on. That was the beginning of that's Leil Shimurim. Like, you see, you can't just read the one pasuk. You have to look at what it's saying. And then the next two pasukim. Next two pasukim explain what the purpose of Umoshe of Bnei Yisrael is. It's not a historical statement. It's a conceptual statement. So of course, there's a most of it was a Mitzrayim. So Shir Mitzrayim. It's talking about the nature of that kind of yeshiva. It's not going to mention every single place. So they, so that's why Tikkun Hashivim they added in the other places also. Yeah, Shoharatzes. Yeah, Shoharatzes. Yeah, that's correct. It's true. What they said was true. But Shoharatzes. It means to say that. But the important thing is that nature of the Moshav is the emphasis. Leil Shimurim Ulad Hashem by Yibetzam Hayom Hazeh. It's not discussing the how many years they lived in time. What's the difference? You figure it out yourself. So, yeah. That's why Chazal say, "Call a dober et sroki ilu yesh lo kan," because it means to say that the yeshiva, the Eretz Yisrael, is really is a manifestation. It's edus for creation, for bias olam. That's it. What do you mean? How? That's Rabbi. It's the first Rabbi Yitzchak in the Chumash. First Rabbi Yitzchak. That the fact, what right do we have to the land? Listimatem? The answer is no. But the God who created the this is programmed into the creation. This is your place. So it's part of Bris Olam, part of Bris Shemayim Arts. So therefore, that's why you have Shemitah. Shemitah Shabbos is Shabbos Lord Hashem. It's the only other mitzvah you have a concept like that, because it reflects the creation. Means to say it's not just on the contrary, it's not a historical fact. What do we care what happened thousands of years ago? It means to say that all the ideas that the person would have who was Yotzei Mitzrayim, that was programmed that it should really be for Dori Doros, the same concepts, the same ideas, just like we're saying now. I mean, otherwise it's meaningless. It means to say that if we don't have, it doesn't mean physically, it means in terms of the ideas. It's just as relevant, because that's the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. For the first door, we can benefit the same way as they did, from the same ideas. So a person's chayav m'sherech hodor, as if God took him out right now. What's the difference if it happened years ago? But if that was the purpose of to have this effect, and we benefit from the effect just like they did, so it's the same Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the concept. Yeah, why is it? I didn't answer the God to Levincha. Why the God to Levincha? The answer is because, you see, the night of Pesach is really, it's Talmud Torah. Because see, when you start the psukim, say Baruch Hamakom Baruch Shenas Torah Lama Yisrael, it's Birchas Torah. But the difference between this Talmud Torah and other Talmud Torah is that this Talmud Torah is based upon what is the night of Pesach. It really is a night.